Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Zoe.
And this is the Room 208 Literature Circle Group Summer Edition. This week, our book is Cook Camp by Gary Paulson. First up, a little something about Gary Paulson.
Gary Paulson has won 3 Newbery Honor Awards with Hatchet, Dog Song, and The Winter Room. He was born on May 17, 1939. He started to love reading at an early age. He has had many jobs, including an engineer, construction worker, ranch hand, truck driver, and sailor, also competing in an Alaskan snow dog race, the Iditarod. He writes a lot about his jobs. His wife's name is Ruth Paulson, an artist who illustrates some of his books. They live at a house in New Mexico and a boat in the Pacific Ocean. Today we have some special guests with us. My mom, Susan.
And my mom, Cindy.
They'll be discussing the book with us. And...
I'm here too.
And our teacher, Mr. Sprankle. And we also have our teacher, Mr. Sprankle.
And now for the book.
Why didn't the boy admit that the babysitter was bad? Because remember, they described the babysitter as drunk and she only watched TV and she barely even fed the boy. Why didn't he tell his mother?
He was probably nervous, like, that, that the babysitter would get mad at him or something.
Maybe. What do you think, Mom?
Well, I think the boy probably was a little lonely, and maybe he didn't know, what would happen if the babysitter left. He didn't want to disappoint his mother. His mother was going off to work. His father was gone to war. I think maybe he wanted somebody to be there for him, even if she wasn't the person who was taking the best care of him. That was my opinion.
Yeah, I kind of remember something about him saying, you know, even though it was really bad, I think he knew that she might send him away. Do I remember that? If this woman wasn't successful, was he worried about...
No, that was Casey, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Uncle Casey.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought it was that if he told on her, he kind of was aware that he might then have to go. But I could be wrong. That's early in the book when that happened.
Because first the babysitter started taking care of him. Then the mom noticed that the babysitter wasn't doing a good job. Then Casey started. So
that the listeners know, why is there a babysitter in the first place? Where's the mom?
His father is at war and his mom chose to work at a factory. That's another question I had. Why did the mother work at a factory? Because she didn't have to. It was her choice.
What do you think, Sean?
I don't know.
What do we know about that time period when a lot of the men had to go to war?
Here's a passage that talks about that point. It says here, it was that his mother was bored. She was bored and did not want to spend endless days sitting in the apartment, listening to the radio, drinking coffee, and waiting. What would she have been waiting for?
To hear news of her husband.
How do you think she was feeling about the war and about her husband at that time?
Didn't she say she hated it, or was that the grandma?
Yeah, I think they both said it.
The grandmother says it. But do you have feelings or ideas that maybe the mother feels that way, too?
I mean, she lost her husband. How else would she feel?
I think to sit around and wait did remind her a lot of her husband. So if she was preoccupied working at a job where they needed the women to come and work because the men were off fighting the war, then that would make the days pass quicker and hopefully the dad would be back sooner than would be expected.
Have you ever seen that poster where a woman's got her sleeve of her arm rolled up and it says, "We can do it"? She's got kind of a scarf on her head. You ever see that? It's an old...
I've heard of it. Poster. I think I've seen it in a book.
Mm-hmm. Rosie the Riveter, they called her, because a lot of women had to go into the workforce because the men weren't there to do the job. So they went in and they did these factory jobs and became welders and, you know, machinists and all that. And then when the men came back from the war, then they kind of left and went back into the home and opened up those jobs again. But a lot of women went to work at that time, so whether she needed to or not, that might have been just something that a lot of women did. But yeah, she was bored, huh? Mm.
Didn't sound like she had a lot of conversations with her son either about what was going on. He seemed to be in the dark and did a lot of his own thinking, you know, about where his dad was and who this Uncle Casey was. And even the fact that she put him on a train with a tag and sent him away on his own. So she wasn't really connected with him, do you think?
I didn't really like her at all.
Yeah.
Because of that. She was just...
Mm-hmm. She didn't pay any attention to him that a boy that young deserves.
Or even to help him understand what was going on. I mean, he may have felt like his dad was never coming home. I don't know.
He's kind of like the invisible boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my first question is, why doesn't he have a name?
I had that question written as well. He's the only character who has no name in this book. Why?
He says his name at one point, but the machine is too loud, and they don't hear it. The first time is at the depot,
right? It was the truck. No, the truck was too loud.
The truck was too loud.
Yeah, remember? That he was telling the, what's his name, the truck driver.
Was
right.
It Gustav?
No, not
or
that one,
Carl?
The other one.
Maybe Carl?
Carl. Mm-hmm. The truck was too loud and it drowned out his voice, something like that.
Right, and even on page 10, the agent asks him, but then doesn't even hear him say it, so we don't hear it either. He never gets named. But he does have two names in the book.
Right, it's like Thimble.
Little Thimble.
Little Thimble.
And
Boy.
Alright, that, and also his mom has a name for him, too.
Mm.
At the end of the book.
Is it
Pumpkin?
Pumpkin.
Yeah. Why is he the Little Thimble? Why is his grandmother calls him the Little Thimble? Tell about the thimble so the listeners know about that. What's the thimble in the story?
The thimble is the thing that you put on your thumb to protect you from needles.
Can you describe the one in this story? Do you guys remember that one?
It's an old one from...
the grandma's mother gave it.
They passed it down for generations.
Yeah, from the old country, right?
Yeah.
And what's on it? What's actually on the thimble?
Wasn't it, a face of a boy, I think, or something.
Right? So it's kind of some folk art on there that they actually drew a face. So she says, "You remind me of this thimble," but why is he a thimble? The Little Thimble. You guys...
Maybe he looked like the boy that was on the top of the thimble.
Yeah, she says he does, right? But... out of all, you know, he's got one real big name in the book, which is Little Thimble. And what does a thimble do? He learns about
protects
it.
Protects people.
Yeah, protects, huh? And it sort of takes the brunt of that needle, doesn't it? Right? So I find it interesting that he's called the Little Thimble.
He's taking all the pressure from the war.
Think so? Mm.
From who, sorry?
And he's also protecting
the war.
What, Sean, he's also protecting?
Who is he protecting?
No, he is protected a lot, so...
Is he protecting someone also?
His little pet squirrel.
But he also protects Uncle Casey, even though he doesn't like him. He doesn't tell about
sort
it. He protects the babysitter, right?
He doesn't tell his mother how she's not taking care of him. And does he protect his mother?
what I was going to say, yeah.
How does he protect his mother, Zoe?
Because, well, he's keeping her with someone to stay with her. She might feel like, she might be really, well, with the husband gone, she'd be alone, and she's not used to that. So she's helping him.
She's help. So he's helping her mother how?
By staying with her.
By allowing her to have somebody there with her in the house?
Yeah. It didn't really work, though. Ignore him all the time. Uncle Casey is who did that.
How would he be helping his grandma? Or protecting grandma? Was there any connection there that you could see?
She was mostly protecting him, being nice to him the whole time, just like all the workers.
Does he come right out and tell his grandmother what's going on at home?
No, he sort of, like, almost gets to it, but then stops, and, like, halfway through the story, he lets it slip, and his grandma gets real, real mad.
Yeah. So do you
think... Starts, like, storming around at night.
So do you think maybe he was trying to protect his grandmother from what was happening in his home?
So she didn't get real mad. Because she got mad about how...
The war?
It was also Uncle Casey.
Right.
Because the boy said he didn't like Uncle Casey, and then for some reason the grandmother got real mad. I didn't really understand.
That's a touchy part of the book that, you know, when I read this, I'm like, wow, this is such a sophisticated book with that part. Is he really an uncle? Let's just go into that a little bit. No, he's...
Mom's boyfriend.
Right. Which is just totally...
Wrong.
I mean, we really don't like the mother because of this, right? I mean, she sends him away because she's bored, and she... She's living in some serious denial, right? She's got a kid, she's got a husband in the war, and now she's hanging out with this new boyfriend and, you know, doesn't want to be reminded of these other things, right? Just sends them all away. So do you think that's why the grandmother gets mad?
Probably.
Because the grandmother is her daughter, right? I mean,
the mom is
the grandmother's daughter, so she's probably pretty disappointed with her daughter, huh? So there's some really, you know, one part that I really liked was there's all this bad stuff happening. There's the babysitter, there's this guy Casey, there's the mom just totally doing that. And there's this line later on where he talks about the apple pie. Did you guys catch that? And he says all of these bad things.
Oh, yeah. You guys can make one good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that part? I love that part. He takes all these ingredients, the milk, bad, right? Cinnamon by itself, it'll burn your tongue. You know, the apples, what do you say, they hurt your teeth
or something like that.
But when they're all together, they make this wonderful apple pie. She keeps feeding him apple pie every night, right? And he drinks milk out of a tin.
That tastes like tin.
That's condensed milk. But she's filling him up with that goodness, right? And so he's kind of amazed that all this bad stuff can kind of come together and make a good thing.
And kind of has in his life, too, because the war has made his father go away, which is a bad thing, and Uncle Casey, the babysitter, but it's all together, and it's and when he goes home, it makes his mother realize things like what it means to send your child away and just go work in a factory.
What's the problem in the story?
He misses his mother all the time.
Yeah, he needs a mom, right?
Yeah.
Does he get one in the story? Even before he goes home, does he get a mom?
Yeah.
Who?
All the workers.
Yeah, you guys got it. I love that part where she takes off because of that bad accident. Oh my gosh, right? And has to go help so that she goes into town with that guy that had his arm crushed. And all the men turn into to the mom, right? They all start mothering
especially
him.
Especially Gustav.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, he starts crying, and then they all become mothers. I love that part.
How did they do as mothers?
Good.
Yeah.
Pretty well, but...
Because they all took him out on the cats, let him drive him. He started liking it and almost becoming one himself because he started spitting like the workers. <That's right. laughs> Like that one worker that would just spit out the window, spit on the floor, spit on the backboard.
Oh, that part just amazing.
That was...
like figures for him, which he needed
two
too.
Inch
yeah.
high.
Yeah.
2 inch high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Piles of spit crossing the
Zoe and Sean, would you have trusted these men after Uncle Casey at home with your mom?
No.
Would you have been real trusting with them at first?
No. Not at first.
What helped him gain their trust? Do you remember that scene in the very beginning after they finish and the men sit down to have cards? What happens there?
Wasn't it
Gustav's
He wet Zoe?
He goes helped him with the cards.
Taught him how to play the game and all that. Was being real nice.
How did he feel sitting there on Gustav's lap? It struck me, that passage. It said he felt safe. It was one of the first times he'd felt safe in a long time.
Which is interesting, because the grandmother calls them animals, right? They're all just big bears. But they are so polite and kind to her, and yeah, I get the feeling that if the grandmother wasn't there, things would be a lot more chaotic.
How did her trailer, the cook trailer, compare to their sleep trailer? Do you remember that?
Well, the cook trailer was a lot neater, and the bed smelled
theirs was
a lot
real
better.
Smelly because of all the sweat from their work camps.
Right. She put up curtains in her trailer, their trailer.
A bit softer, right?
Softer,
theirs
more
was hard and...
more motherly, feminine.
And they really kind of needed her to keep them from just spinning off into
and becoming the animals that they could have been.
Yeah.
Right.
How come they're not in the war?
Because they're...
They sort of are
because they're helping build the trail for the war. Mm.
They have other important jobs, maybe, that the government pays them to do.
Like building that trail.
They might actually...
Road to Canada.
They might actually be part of the army, just hasn't been called.
Hmm.
Well, I think they are because they're building the trail for the army. They're probably just building it, and after they finish, they'll go right back to war.
Did they discuss?
I can't remember either. I get the feeling that they're older.
I do too. Grandfatherly, I thought. Well, not quite grandfatherly age, but more, you know, older than a father is the feeling that I got, because they seem to know how to react and treat him like an adult, where I think a lot of parents may have babied him. But they let him go out and learn how to use the equipment and gave him that opportunity.
Gustav gave him that knife.
Right.
Right,
a 5-year-old little boy.
Knife.
That would be awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there might be other reasons, too. I mean, there were some, you know, there were definitely men that stayed behind, and the roads had to get built. But there might be some other reasons, too, why these men didn't go to the war that Gary Paulson may not be telling us.
Well, and they all had foreign names, it seemed like, with the exception of Carl. They mentioned some of the other characters.
They said...
Right.
Gustav,
Swedish.
Swedish
names.
Yeah. And the grandma was from
Norway.
Maybe they're all from Norway.
Is there any rule against being in the army if you are out of state?
Here we are. We're making a road into Canada, something to do with the war. We're too old to be soldiers, but we can still build roads. So you were right, grandparents, grandfather.
You think of the grandma, how she fed the men that were building the road and so forth, and remember him taking care of his little squirrel friend? That he learned how to care for somebody else, too.
Yeah, he, gentleness. The squirrel likes everything I like. And does the squirrel like spinach?
Yes.
No. If you don't like it, he doesn't like it. And then he was going to try to feed him some.
Yeah,
right.
Try the spinach.
And then he worried about them when they moved their trailer. As they built the road, they had to keep moving their trailer. What about the mice? You know, what about the squirrel? Oh, you know, their homes are here.
You think such strange things. Which is Gary Paulson. You know, I wonder if this is somewhat autobiographical. I mean, he's a very honest writer. He really tells, like, he doesn't hide that whole thing about Uncle Casey, you know. I mean, this is a kid's book, and it's like, you know, it's right in there. He really tells the truth, and I wonder if some of this is autobiographical, about his grandmother, at least. At the end, I mean, she's filling him up with apple pie and milk. And then before he goes, what does she fill him up with? She just...
Stories, family history.
Just keeps, all these stories into him.
That felt almost urgent to me. She talks late into the night, just story after story of her family, so that someone will carry away.
Even when he's asleep.
Right, exactly.
You have to listen, though. He wasn't always asleep when they talked of things because he would be in that
when
half
state. Asking the Gustav asked if he'd like to go to the cat while he was sleeping, but he heard that part.
Mm-hmm.
And Gustav knew it because in the morning he was like, "So, you want to go now?"
Have you ever had times like that when you've overheard your parents or someone talking at night and then remembered in the morning?
I would find that hard to sleep if I were him, knowing that you had that opportunity the next day, and yet he slept and awoke with some good, you know, with some excitement.
Yeah, he sleeps a lot. I mean, he's a young kid, and I think working, he really conks out. And that's, you know, this place gives him that rest that he, you know, could just take a break from all the troubles and really sleep. I think she really helped him get to sleep.
At the very end, the grandmother, there's a chapter entitled Portrait. Why do you think they waited until the end for the grandmother to tell her history? Instead of in the beginning, so we would know who the grandmother was. Why do you think Gary Paulson waited to the end?
Yeah, you don't see that in books much, where the books, the story's over, and then instead of a, you know, aftermath or something, it's a portrait
afterward.
Of this person. Portrait. Mm-hmm. I thought about this yesterday.
It sort of connects with the story more.
How?
Because it all, like, seals itself together. If you tried to throw all that stuff in, it would seem like nothing. But if you want to really get into it, you got to keep it somewhere where it's meaning something. Not where it's just thrown out there for people.
It really is like this special painting at the end.
Everything gets
a capsule.
Yeah.
That sort of connects everything together and all.
Yeah.
From all the stories. Then you get to see why the grandma's acting like that and all.
Does it help you understand some of her decisions and some of the things that she did?
And she didn't know when he was leaving either. And suddenly, you know, it was time for him to go, and she did want to get all those stories in. Before you go, let me tell you. See how many we can share with you.
I wonder how her childhood impacted on what she's doing.
The grandma?
Yeah.
That's a great question, because she really is holding those men together, right? Taking care of them. And
it said I think she was maybe a teenager, that she cooked for the men on the farm that her parents owned. Is that correct? Her father? So she was used to cooking for a lot of people, farmhands. So she had that experience.
I thought about this as a movie yesterday. I had never thought about that, and I thought, would you do that at the end? Would you do that portrait of her at the end, and how would you do that? And, you know, when he's a man at the end, we still don't get his name, do we? Right?
He comes back with his own child.
That last paragraph just slays me. Hopefully we won't get in trouble reading it, but I just have to read
passages.
She gives him pie at the end. And there he is, a man. And she gives him pie and milk. "Would you like some pie?" she asked. And of course he did. And he sat and ate the pie and drank the milk and wished to God that all good things could go on forever and ever. Mm. What are the good things that he's talking about?
Thor being gone, maybe.
What has happened in his life? He's now a grown man.
His family.
Do you think he relayed those stories to his own child, what his grandma had told him?
Probably, yeah.
That would be a good thing, a story that's passed on about your family. Or even a good thing that goes on forever and ever, the grandma still being there.
Mm-hmm. Did she live a nice long life? Mm-hmm. Said she outlived many of her children.
I think 92. All of them, right?
Is that correct?
All of her kids.
Yeah.
So his mother even
when
has
she died.
Died.
Right.
Yeah.
Or is it 72?
No, 92. Yeah.
She was like 75 when he was at the camp.
Right. And that's an interesting question. Do you think her life was easy?
No.
After
she seemed to be fine.
Mm-hmm. She seemed happy and content. Yeah.
She could take it all.
One of those shining moments for the man, his life has to have been this time spent with his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And in that last portrait thing, I mean, we don't really even hear him. Yeah, I mean, he talks. See, then oh no, the boy talks. We don't hear his voice at all. Mm. She asks him if he wants pie, and of course he did. It's almost like we hear him more when he was a boy, and kind of like he had more of an understanding of what this really meant than he can have as an adult. You know, this is sort of like a time capsule that experience with his grandmother.
How long was he there with his grandmother in the cook camp?
Wasn't it like 6 months, I think? Thought it was about 1 month. Was it 2? Wasn't very long.
Mm. I think you're right, Sean. I don't recall exactly how long, but it wasn't months and months and months. But in that short time, he was able to really connect with his grandmother and these men and carry a memory that lasted for decades.
She connected with him and talked with him a lot about what was going on, whether it be with the men or what they were doing in the cook camp, whereas he didn't have that at home with mom or the babysitter. I mean, even though he didn't care for Casey did take him to the zoo, but I don't know if there was a lot of interaction. So he did connect very easily because of the communication between the two, including him in things. Mm-hmm. So while you're looking that up, I just want to take you back to when he was taking the train out. Remember, he was taken care of by one of the men on board the first train, and then he was mothered by him.
He gave him a comic book.
Yeah, really looked out for him.
Food.
Yeah. And then he
on the way back too.
On the way back too.
And then that agent that took care of him in the depot. Yeah.
Oh, and do you remember when he got off at the depot and waited? And at first we weren't sure if he was getting off because there was not someone there to meet him.
Yeah.
And the guy said, "Well, I'm here till a certain time, and I'm not quite sure if we should leave him. And what's your name? Who's coming for you?" Mm-hmm. And finally he says, "Well, leave him." And all I could think of was leave the parcel at the door,
mm-hmm.
or leave the package, and hopefully someone comes to retrieve this package. And he sits there for a while looking into the room, and it's very quiet there, and he waits, it seems like, forever. And then he hears this really loud noise, and the author, Gary, really builds you up to what's going to happen.
Well, it scared you again because he ran off chasing that mm-hmm. butterfly
yes.
down the tracks, and he couldn't find his way back.
So we weren't sure.
That really scared you right there.
We weren't sure if he'd even make it. I mean, think of all these bad things that happened at the beginning of the story, and the author kind of leaves you feeling like, is someone coming to pick this poor child up? And how could a parent do that?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, he's like kindergarten age. Or
yes.
Stuff, you know,
yeah.
he's just like
and hadn't had
kid,
this experience.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a parent today would feel comfortable putting a 5-year-old on a train with a note?
No.
What does that tell us about that time in history?
The grandmother.
They were trusting.
They trusted people.
And he grew up faster. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sean, you think of plane rides that we had, and I remember a little boy getting on, but the mother brought the child to the airport mm-hmm. and connected that child with the stewardess. And the stewardess kind of looked out for them on the flight. So at least, yeah, they were being left to go somewhat by themselves. The stewardess was there, someone they didn't necessarily know, but at least the mom brought the child to the airport, right? Here this poor child gets something attached to his shirt. Almost like writing your name on your winter cap in case it gets lost. Hopefully someone returns it to you.
He's where you're going. Probably the money in there and everything. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, I see we're around our 30 minutes. You want to say any last comments about the shoot? Would you suggest this book to people?
Yeah, definitely.
How come?
Because it really makes you feel for the little boy and understand things.
I suggest this book because it's real good. It connects. You can see earlier when we read about his jobs, by the titles of the book, like Dog Song, it sounded like it connected to how he raced in the Iditarod, and like this one, his job was truck driver, so that might connect to going on the cats with Gustav and all the work. So he really connects to his life a lot, so those are real good books most of the time.
I love this book. I've read it a bunch of times, and, you know, it's just so well sculpted. And, you know, I just love some of the things he does, like never naming the boy, kind of keep him invisible, and just how he changes right away with the men. And that portrait part at the end, I just think is classic. I can't think of any book that does that, that kind of paints a picture of the character at the end.
Sort of like those movies that are based on a true story, at the end they like go to all the characters and like guy grew up to become this and this, then it goes to all the other people.
Like zooming in.
Yeah.
I thought if you did a movie, wouldn't that be an interesting way to end up, of just showing the grandmother as a little girl?
Mm-hmm.
You know, destroying that part,
flashback.
And save it for the end.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I felt this read very much like a short story. It was very tight and just one little specific time in this little boy's life, and really tied together a lot of deep concepts and ideas, and flowed well into a tight story. And the portrait at the end just ties it all together.
Thanks for having us. It's fun to be on a Room 208 show.
Thank you.
And what's the next book?
The Giver.
Okay. With some more readers.
Thanks for listening.